Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Miss Millie Moffat takes a moment from her switchboard to begin another chapter of Office Wife.
I've just been talking to Dulcie, you know, my girlfriend, about Marcia Pilgrim and Stella Bronson. They were both at Mr. Puller's on Sunday, and Harry didn't tell me what it was all about, but Stella and Marcia had an awful argument in front of about 50 people. You'd think they'd know better. I mean, you only expect people to behave like that down around, say, Peachtree Street. But I suppose it had to happen sooner or later. Everyone knows that Stella's keen on Jet Pilgrim. And Harry Palmer told me that Mr. Bendigo was going to fire her. Only Jeff was too quick for him and gave Stella a cast-iron contract. Ha! Pretty smooth, I call it. Yeah, pretty smooth.
Are you operating that switchboard or not, Millie?
Why, yes, Mr. Pilgrim.
And I've been sitting holding the phone in my office for about 5 minutes. Where have you been?
I've been right here. Oh, gee, I'm sorry, Mr. Pilgrim. There were a lot of calls, and you know I'm pretty quick most of the time.
It's your job to be pretty quick all the time, Millie. I'm too busy to have to march from my office to your switchboard every time I want to make a phone call. And so is Miss Bronson. I'd be a good girl and smarten up a bit.
Yes, Mr. Pilgrim.
And by the way, how many times have I had you on the carpet for gossiping around the office?
Well, you've growled at me once or twice, I guess. Mr. Pilgrim, honest, I never say a thing.
Miss Bronson was on her way back from the files room a few minutes ago and heard you discussing her contract on the phone. When will you learn to keep quiet?
Oh, gee, Mr. Pilgrim, I didn't know she was listening.
She wasn't listening. She just couldn't help overhearing part of it. I have no control over what you do or say outside office hours, but in future, Millie, don't keep me waiting for a line while you carry on private conversations, and particularly about matters that don't concern you. Do you understand?
Well, I'm not the only one who's...
You've shut her down. Better attend to it, Millie. You'll have someone else after you.
Good job she didn't hear what else I told Dulce about her. And I'll say what I like. See? Oh, good morning. Tessa Bendigo and Company. Mr. Fleming.
Jeff, what's the matter?
Nothing.
Yes, there is. What's on your mind?
Oh, it's this business of you and Marcia on Sunday. It's all over the place.
Oh, why can't people mind their own wretched business? Oh, Jeff, I'm so terribly sorry it happened.
Well, don't be sorry for me. Be sorry for yourself. You're in it, too.
Oh, I don't care a hang. It's your position here I'm thinking of.
You can be a very sweet girl when you want to. Can't you, Stella?
Well, don't say it like that. I mean it.
All right, then. So do I.
What's Marcia going to say about people talking?
Well, I don't know. And at the moment, I don't darn well care.
You don't care?
You heard me. We're like a pair of strangers under the same roof. Last night, there was the very dickens of a row over your contract.
Oh, I don't know what to say.
I shouldn't think there was any need for you to say anything.
No. No, of course not. I never get used to being kept at arm's length, do I?
Look here, Stella, I don't understand you. We run along smoothly most of the time. And then you come out with cracks like that.
Last night I felt so miserable and lonely, I pretty nearly rang you.
You should never be lonely. You should have droves of chaps beating a path to your door.
I don't care for droves. The moment there's no one around, so I get lonely. If I had asked you, would you have come over for a drink?
No, I wouldn't.
Why not?
Oh, just because people seem to think I'm a heel, there's no reason to give them good cause for it.
So, you seldom come near me just to preserve what you can of your lily-white reputation?
I seldom come near you, Stella, because I jolly well don't want to. Is that blunt enough for you?
Quite, thanks. You mind if I get on with my work?
I think that would be a very good idea.
Mr. Pilgrim's office.
Pilgrim there, Miss Bronson?
Yes, Mr. Puller.
Put him on.
Benny Puller, dear.
Oh, thanks. Morning, sir.
I want to see you, Pilgrim, at my office. What time can you be here?
Today?
Yes.
What about 4 o'clock this afternoon?
All right. 4 o'clock.
Puller's terse about something. I seem to be getting shot at from every conceivable angle. Oh, well. Oh, now then. What are we doing about Highland Hydrangea's advertising? Shall we crack the whip over the agency or get someone else?
Stella, darling, I'd like to fold you in a muscular embrace, you enchanting woman.
No, talk sense. Jeff's just about finished with Marcia, and I've an idea he's in the doghouse with Benny Puller. The writing would appear to be on the wall.
Well, so long as he's still handling Puller's account, he's on pretty firm ground just the same.
But not for long, chum. It'll be falling any day.
Definitely?
But definitely.
And you'll still go through with it?
I'll still go through with getting him away from Marcia.
Yes, but what about him getting kicked out of the firm?
Same thing, isn't it?
Would be. Marcia's still the apple of Uncle Tristeter's eye.
You may as well know, Harry, that when Pilgrim leaves here, I'm going too. Let's get our motives straight for once. If getting Jeff away from his wife means getting him kicked out of here, I don't care tuppence. Because he and I are a pretty sharp combination. We could do as well or better somewhere else.
So, helping me...
I'm not helping you. I'm going my own way. You'll see Jeff kicked out. What more do you want?
It's a pity you've done another switcheroo, Stella. With Pilgrim out of the way, we could have got along fine.
Don't flatter yourself, dear boy. And a word in your self-satisfied ear. I know what you're really after. Jeff Pilgrim's only a stepping stone. I'm right, aren't I?
Stella, you could be too cagey if you're no good.
It's all right. I shan't give you away. But you really are a thoroughbred rotter, you know.
Thank you, darling. For the thoroughbred. It helps.
Now then, Pilgrim, I'm not going to mince any words. You're in a jam.
What kind of a jam, Mr. Puller?
That Donnybrook mayhem at my place on Sunday looked bad, and it was bad. Have you seen the gossip columns?
Yes, I've seen them.
Now listen, young fellow. You and I know each other pretty well. So what's happening? What's happening with you and your wife?
What the devil has it got to do with you, Mr. Puller? You and I are only business associates. And my...
It's all right. It's all right. You don't have to get tough. Something's doing. I know that. I know Tricia Bendigo. I know this secretary of yours. And I've seen your wife.
If you're asking me to run my personal life better, or get out of your affairs, why don't you say so, sir?
Now, calm down. I'm trying to help you. A lot of chaps would see what's going to happen to you and wait for it. But not Benny Puller. No, sir. I think you'll be asked to leave Bendigo's before long because your position there depends on your wife. Well, no...
I've had enough of this. Now tell Percy Fleming you don't want me handling your business at Tressida Bendigo's any longer.
As a matter of fact, I don't.
And why can't you get on with it and say so?
All right, here we go. I'll give you $1,750 a year to walk out of Bendigo's and come in with me. And you can bring that Bronson girl with you.
What?
You heard me.
Is this some kind of a gag?
Look here, Pilgrim. I happen to know that you're in demand. Now, don't get a swollen head, but you've just the touch I need. And other firms need, too. Do you know, I run this show single-handed because there's not one guy who will argue the point with me. They're a bunch of yes-men. You're not. Well, what do you say?
Listen, Mr. Puller. Your offer is based on one assumption, that the gossip about me and my secretary is true. Am I right?
Well, see here, Pilgrim, I've been around...
That's all I want to know. And as for your offer, Well, the next person who trots out that assumption is going to get one bounced on the nose. Good day, Mr. Puller.
And I think he means it, Bajingo. Never mind, you'll be my right-hand man yet, Pilgrim. I get what I want. Yes, sir.
You dance like an angel, Marcia.
Not anymore for a while. Let's sit in the corner.
And if Jeff should find out you're with me, what are we going to say?
You can say what you like. I'll say a sweet nothing at all.
That's all very well, but Jeff is a friend of mine.
Then tell him you took me out to cheer me up, knowing how things stand.
Marcia, I wish I didn't know how things stand.
Oh, it's all right. I'm not humiliated over Bronson. I'm merely determined that people are going to think I'm running out on Jeff, not the other way around.
Running out on Jeff? With whom?
What's wrong with you, Harry, darling?
Marcia, how can you put me in such an appalling position?
Oh, don't harp on it. There's a good man. Jeff can hardly take a poor view. He runs about with his secretary. I run about with my husband's best friend.
It won't do.
Why not? Why won't it do?
Because I've known Jeff for years, and we've been pretty close. And because, you see, Marcia, I'm in love with Jeff Pilgrim's wife. It's almost too easy. Marcia's on the bounce, and she's going to bounce right into my arms. If any pilgrim doesn't get in the way again. And how could he? Only if Stella Bronson were to draw him some diagrams. She knows the score. But, does Marcia? How could I make sure of her? Quickly.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.